Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Off Script with Pastor Jared and
Pastor Dylan
and
Pastor Caleb.
Welcome, gentlemen.
One day I'll get used to that.
Thanks for being in the studio for something you don't even know what's coming. How much info did I give you guys? Tell the good people at home about what we're about to do.
You gave me about a minute of who the guy's name was.
You have given me a piece of paper and a pen to write stuff down, and there's not a thing on this piece of paper. You also folded it in half for the grain of the wood.
And we were also told not to watch this.
Yes, or look up the guy.
Okay, you really set me up well there. So this is, I guess we could say, somewhat of a reaction video, audio podcast that we're going to do. So we're going to play two clips for you, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to hear it. We're going to hear it. We're going to hear two clips that took place about 15 years apart. And what I want myself and the guys here to do is to talk about the difference in the person who gave it first and how they gave it 15 years later. Their approach has changed dramatically, it sounds like to me. So the guy we're talking about today is Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins. Anybody know who Richard Dawkins is already?
Is he related to Richard Hawkins?
Okay, there it is. Richard Dawkins is one of the, probably the foremost leading atheist in the world, as far as he has made a lifetime out of arguments against Christianity. Others as well, other religions as well, but particularly Christianity has been his ire, has been focused on us. He is...
Well, that's mean.
You know, he is a tough guy. He's from, I don't know where he's from, but it's definitely across the pond in the Britain area. He has an accent. Sounds British to me.
You want to give it a try for us here, Jared?
No.
Okay.
So he's been around for quite some time, and you may remember this would have been in the early 2000s where this movement really gained steam, called the New Atheists. Sam Harris, Christopher Hitchens, Richard Dawkins were really the famous ones that pioneered this intellectual atheism movement. And really, it was a militant atheism. It was not just...
they had guns?
Well, they were mounted against like argumentation. They were very strongly against Christians. They were on college campuses, you know, arguing with Christians. They were supplying a lot of media interviews. Richard Dawkins wrote one of the most popular atheist books called The God Delusion. And the title tells you everything you need to know, that he basically thinks that Christians are fools, that we're deluded in believing in God. And I remember Christopher Hitchens went on a debate tour with another pastor named Doug Wilson, and I watched that. There's a debate DVD about it called Collision, and I showed that DVD when I was teaching high school, Christian high school, because it was so good. But basically Hitchens' argument was that Christianity is not good for the world. The world would be a better place if there was no Christianity. And in fact, you guys are probably too young to even get the reference, but do y'all know John Lennon's song "Imagine"? Yes. Have you ever heard that song?
Yes, not that young.
What's the general point of the song? Anybody?
Now that I don't know.
I think I'm
humble pie.
Basically it's imagine if there was no religion. Imagine if.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
That's the general vibe of that song is. That religion is holding us back, and just imagine how great things would be had there never been any religion. So, all that's background information. What I want to do first is show a clip and then get your reactions from it, from Richard Dawkins. When this clip actually took place, I don't know, but this appeared on YouTube. It said 16 years ago, which is like OG YouTube. That's when, very early, a long time ago.
The good old days.
Yeah, back when it was just... Chocolate Rain and Numa Numa. And yeah, so we almost lost Dylan, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, this is a old clip from Richard Dawkins, and he's in a room, I guess, full of atheists because they're really rooting him on. And he's talking about the God of the Old Testament. So he's about to, and I will warn you guys, like, this is definitely a blasphemous clip, what he's about to say. It's not correct, but it is his opinion and what he has taught consistently for years about God, about Christianity. So I'm have Dylan cue up the old sound clip there, and we'll play it. This is God of the Old Testament.
The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it. A petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak. A vindictive, bloodthirsty ethnic cleanser. A misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully.
All right. That's the end of the clip. So, you guys didn't know I was going to play that. What's your real reactions? What's the first thing you think of when you hear all that information?
Did he have a thesaurus with him the whole time?
He was reading. He was ready. He wrote it down.
Every big word.
But then he ended on bully.
Yeah.
Like, way to end on a low note there, buddy.
So just what do you know? What do you now know about Richard Dawkins and his approach from that clip?
He's messing around and going to find out with God.
Well, the judgment of God is coming to someone. He's basically shaking his fist at God, right? You can kind of tell this is what you might call the potter, or the clay turning to the potter and putting him back on the witness stand.
Well, I think he's doing what every single person who tries to disprove Christianity or say it, the God of the Old Testament. He's clearly making a distinction that somehow God has changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament, when in reality we know that's absolutely not the case.
So, yeah. So, first of all, yeah, he's targeting the God of the Old Testament as the worst, in his opinion. And he's using lots of words that I'm betting half the people in that room don't even know what he was saying, but it sounded good. So, lots of sidles. But, and I would say half of those come from the book of Joshua, probably, or what he was targeting. And we've covered that as well in a previous podcast. But, yeah, so his angle is to use a standard of morality that he believes is right and then judge God for not meeting those standards. So he finds God to be lacking in morality for the things God has done throughout the Bible. So this is kind of the demeanor of Richard Dawkins, that he is he has always been a very aggressive atheist and has always been very evangelistic as an atheist. He's tried to move people to his cause. He has said openly he would be happy if nobody would believe in God anymore, that it's a crutch and it's holding society back and all these things. All right. So that was 15 or 16 years ago. What I want to play for you now is a clip, and you don't know what I'm about to play for you either. I haven't told you what this clip is either.
Nope.
I will soften it for you by saying you're not going to hear him convert to Christianity. Okay? That's not what this is. It's not Dawkins drops to his knees and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Well, darn.
But it's really interesting now the way he talks. So we'll start the clip. It's an interview with a news station on Easter talking, and they just had him come talk. And the way it starts is talking about
Easter.
Yeah, BBC, or I don't know. It's about the influx of Muslims into England and France and sort of this area, this Europe area, the changing of the culture away from a culture that used to be kind of Christian-esque to now more of a pluralistic and even Islamic culture. So Dawkins is now reflecting upon that. And I find what he says to be quite interesting. So play it there through about 2 minutes or so.
Dawkins, it's very good to have you join us to discuss whether it matters that Christianity is playing a diminishing role in national life. Welcome to LBC.
Thank you.
And what would be your Easter message? I've said a few things. What would you tell the nation?
Well, I must say I was slightly horrified to hear that Ramadan is being promoted instead. I do think that we are culturally a Christian country. I call myself a cultural Christian. I'm not a believer. But there's a distinction between being a believing Christian and being a cultural Christian. And so, you know, I love hymns and Christmas carols, and I sort of feel at home in the Christian ethos. I feel that we are a Christian country in that sense. It's true that statistically the number of people who actually believe in Christianity is going down, and I'm happy with that. But I would not be happy if, for example, we lost all our cathedrals and our beautiful parish churches. So I count myself a cultural Christian. I think it would matter if we, certainly if we substituted any alternative religion, that would be truly dreadful.
Well, which brings me to my supplementary point, which is that, as we know, church attendance is plummeting, but the erection of mosques across Europe, I think 6,000 are under construction, and there are many more, I mean, are being planned. So do you regard that as a problem? Do you think that matters?
Yes, I do, really. I mean, I choose my words carefully. I mean, if I had to choose between Christianity and Islam, I choose Christianity every single time. I mean, it seems to me to be a fundamentally decent religion, in a way that I think Islam is not.
I think you're going to have to explain why you say that.
We'll cut it there. I can see the wheels turning in you guys' heads now. Isn't that interesting, the difference between the two clips 15 years ago? So what's happened? I got my thoughts, but I want to hear what you guys are thinking, because you've not had a chance to hear this like I have. What are you thinking, the change between the two perspectives?
Why was he so calm and nice?
Yeah, he was just real out and mean and kind of nasty.
Age has a way of mellowing us sometimes.
Yeah, no, I wrote down some of his keywords I saw, because he came out of the gate saying we as a society,
mm-hmm.
with which 16 years ago he would have definitely said I am not a part of this. Like, he's,
I heard cultural Christian,
I wrote that down, versus believing Christian. He tries to give us a definition there, which I would think we see here in America, as well as I think culturally people would say they're Christians, but we know that, like, just because you say it, if there's no fruit in your life, you're not, you know, it's the hypocrisy that God teaches about, like how he hates it, how you say one thing, but you're living a double life. And so he even made mention of that, of like, he likes the idea of Christmas carols and the cathedrals and the church. But I do find it interesting, when people are threatened or their world starts to crumble around them, where do they run back to? Back to the church, back to typically Christianity. And that, I think he's starting to see that as they're feeling threatened by Islam and all this other things. He's like, well, I at least know what to expect from this, so I'm going to run back to it, because he made mention of it being a more decent.
I found that religion. Compare what he said in the first clip to the God of the Old Testament. Now we're calling Christianity decent. Isn't that interesting? It was. What happened to the megalomaniacal maniac, the bully, the filicidal, I don't even know what these words mean, pestilential, and then all of a sudden, wait a minute,
them all up.
Now we're a decent group of people?
Yeah, and he wanted to choose his words carefully.
Yeah, because one of the two religions will hurt you if you don't have the right viewpoint, and one will not. Do you think Islam would ever let him say those things in the first clip?
No, absolutely.
About their God, about Allah, or about Muhammad?
Absolutely not. They would cut that out real quick.
I think there are only, what, two sects of Islam that are radical?
I don't know. Wahhabi, Sunni, Shia, Sufi.
Two of them are real, who's who? You know, mess with them, but I don't know about the rest. I haven't ever looked into it a whole lot. But still, it's, you know, that's not something that you do.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting now that, because he's seen the alternative, he's much more yearning for the Christian culture. Now, again, you got to be clear, like what you said, He is not a believing Christian at all. He still said he would prefer people not believe it. But there is a disconnect in the man's head. The disconnect is that, okay, you like the Christmas carols. Who wrote those Christmas carols? Were they believing men?
Yes.
Yes, they were. A lot of the Christmas carols were done by the Wesleys, you know, Charles and John Wesley, who wrote Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Those guys believed the lyrics that they were writing. Mm-hmm. Who built those cathedrals? I know now that's a lot of liberal people that are in the nice stone buildings those things, but not that's not who built them. Who built them were people who believed that a transcendent architecture pointed to a transcendent God, that stained glass and art on the wall for people who couldn't read was beneficial to tell the stories of Jesus and to show them the gospel in picture form. And it was they believed it. The culture that he likes, where people have a certain way of life, a nuclear family and the people being decent to one another. That's a gift of the Christian worldview being played out in a society. So what Richard Dawkins has done is he has found out that all the fruits he enjoys come from the Christian tree. The Christian tree has made all the fruits that he has so richly enjoyed. But I think I don't know if he understands it or not, but it sounds like he is figuring out his entire life's mission was to cut down the tree that produced the fruits that he enjoys. Yeah. And so that's the irony of the entire thing, is that Richard Dawkins has spent his entire adult life cutting down Christianity as best he could to turn people away from it, to make the believing element go away, and to tell people that religion is not good for society. Well, here we are a couple decades later, and as Jesus said, wisdom is known by her children. The fruits of an idea eventually work themselves out in an observable way. So now he's able to see, not only does Christianity tend to produce good culture, and it does, it's also a very strong deterrent to darkness.
Yep.
And he is now, it's kind of like, have you ever done something where like, you peeked around a corner or you lifted up a rock or you did something and you were like, and you were like scared. Maybe you saw a snake under there or imagine you lift up a big rock outside and like all these ants start crawling everywhere. Or all these cockroaches go over and you're like, and you put it back down. You're like, never mind. And you don't want to go back under there again.
Yes.
Or some snake is there. That's what Britain is now experiencing. They have, as Christianity is destabilized, they find out that what replaces it is not some utopian, pluralistic society where everyone just follows their passions and everyone is free to do what they want.
And gets along and is,
idea of coexist.
It doesn't happen like that. In reality, I think, can I make a bold statement here? Maybe even a prognostication?
Hey, we're off.
One might say.
We're off script.
We're all friends here. I think there's really only... Going forward, now I'm not talking about the past. I think in the era of tomorrow, there's really only four worldviews that are going to survive. I think everything's going to boil down in 100 years to four worldviews: Christianity, Islam, paganism, and statism or communism. So, in the end, those are all the strong. Those are the strong worldviews. In the end, the strong worldviews survive. So. Christianity and Islam are going to be around. I think Christianity we have a promise from God that it will always be around. Yep. Mm-hmm. Islam is going to be around till the end. They are a very strong, strong-handed people.
Yeah.
And they don't go away quietly. So it's going to be around. Paganism, I think, is going to... Everything that's liberal now is pagan tomorrow. So I think paganism is going to sweep in, and you could even make the case that Hinduism and Buddhism and things like that can play with paganism. And then the other is this communistic, socialistic, strong-handed government, tyrannical approach.
Dictator.
Yeah. You're Stalin, you're Stalin, Hitler, Mao,
Kim Jong,
Kim, you know, that.
Yeah.
So I think only those four are going to survive. And I think Richard Dawkins, who's not a dummy, he's a fool, but he's not a dummy. I think he pulled the rock back and he has seen Islam is eating Britain's lunch. And he has seen all these mosques popping up everywhere and all their cultures going away. And he has seen the change and he doesn't like it. But it's all, I don't want to say it's too late, but they've let him in. They've and it's hard to go back.
These are the seeds that you sowed.
And he is directly responsible for it. Because the difference between Britain and America is we still have a very strong believing remnant.
Mm-hmm.
Britain has the skeleton. They have the cathedrals, and they have, I mean, when King Charles was put in as the new king, my goodness, it was a Christian ceremony. But like, how many people in that room believed the gospel that was being preached? The gospel was preached several times, but not a soul in there probably really believed it. Maybe a few did, but anyway, we still in America have a pretty strong core of belief. Britain, you're under 5%, I think. I don't know what the numbers are now. I've heard 2. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Just say 5% is evangelical. And so you're not going to be able to fight off a strong Islam. They're going to eat your lunch. So I think Dawkins has known it. He's realized it. But I don't think he understands that he spent his entire life bringing that to be. So
you should tell him.
What would you say? So like, what do you say to Richard Dawkins? Let's close with this thought. If Richard Dawkins was sitting here today and he was an open-minded person, what would you?
If he was an
open-minded. What would you? It sounds like he's softened a little, right? Over those two clips. What do you say to him? Have you thought about it?
No, you didn't let us think about it. That was the whole point of this.
You like to see me squirm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I would ask him, like, now, what is keeping you from believing in Christianity? You say all these things, you like all these things. What's the category distinction for why can you not fully commit? Is it rules or regulation? Or, you know, how they view Christianity is just, it's just a bunch of rules.
Mm-hmm.
As we view it as, it's a guideline and a lifestyle for us. You know, because I think it's interesting. Like, people are like, oh, yeah, Christianity, you can take it out of it. But if you look historically at societies, like, Christianity is what brought us out of barbaric times.
Mm-hmm.
You have the stabilization of the family. You have these guidelines of how to live a life that way people aren't eating each other and killing each other all the time. Like, it stabilized society.
Yeah, Jesus called it salt for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Preservative.
Preservative.
Antiseptic.
It hurts, you know, but it cleans all these other things. And so I would ask him just like, what is the thing that holds you back?
He's going through what, so C.S. Lewis had this analogy he used, and I'm going to butcher it. It's barely in my brain. Something to the effect of, you want the, it's like you took the heart out of a body, and you expect the heart to still beat. You want the function of the organ, but without the whole body. And I think that's what Dawkins has done, is he wants all the goodies that Christianity provides him,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't realize that if you remove that heart that beats from the body of belief and of reality, the heart won't beat. You cannot have a dead Christianity that gives you all the blessings. Only a true living Christianity will actually provide inspired hymn writers that want to write new music and people that want to make new cathedrals or you know, beautiful buildings and architecture and you know, preachers that have the gospel, and those things come from someone who believes. I mean, there's a reason no one's writing Handel's Messiah today, right? I mean,
you're not wrong about that.
I mean,
what a beautiful piece of music.
That came from a time when someone radically believed what they were doing.
Yeah.
I mean, Michelangelo has to lay on his back for how long and make the roof of the Sistine Chapel, the dome, you know, and under all the painting it took to do that. That's someone that was motivated deeply by a belief in God. So you can't remove, You can't remove the belief in God and then expect people to go out and do that. That's why our buildings look drab, and that's why our music is depressing, because we don't have that animating belief in God that's causing beauty to happen, and that's what he's missing. You won't get it from Islam. You won't get it from paganism, and you won't get it from communism. So Christianity inspires beauty because God is. So that's, I just, if he was here, I would like to think two things would happen. One, I would say, "Do you realize what you've done?"
Yep.
To quote Jim Carrey,
yep.
on the bus. "Do you realize what you've done?" I would probably do that, but then I would like to think and hope that my spiritual side would take over, and I would try to have a prodigal son moment with them and say, "You messed up, man, but there's still time to come back home. You can come home, even though you were never really home. You can come back, and you know, you've had time to watch the fruits of your beliefs play out." And that's a thing many people don't even get in their life, is to see the fruits of their ideas play out in such a way that you can say, "That didn't work. My whole life I gave it all to this atheism. Turns out I hate it. I hate what I've created. But I see what Christians created, and I think it's better. So just come to what Christians have created." So I would like to think there would be some grace to say, you know, "Yes, this is somewhat your fault, but so was the prodigal son's for asking for his inheritance early, and he got to come home." So,
yeah, but first he had to sit in the slop.
Yeah, hopefully that's where he's at right now.
He's sitting in the slop.
I think he is, because he's starting to realize.
Maybe this is how he gets
sick. I was attacking this one thing, and then it's like a blind side in football. He just got he's getting clobbered with Islam there now.
Yeah, and he doesn't like it. So,
how does the slop taste, Richard?
Sounds like not very good. So, yeah, hopefully this is, hopefully in a couple years we can do a podcast where we go back and say, the one where at a third clip, and we say where the one where Richard Dawkins came to faith in Christ. That would be sweet. I hope we have that one for Jordan Peterson. I hope we have that.
We'll need a plate button that'll make a mind explosion noise.
Yes, yes. So that would be great if we could have that. And so that's a thing to pray for, because that would be a big testimony to a lot of people he's led astray over the years, that he turned and came to Christ anyway. Yeah. So, all right. Any last thoughts? Sounds like no. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to this episode of Off Script with Pastor Jared. If you have a interest in sending us a topic to discuss, kirbywoods.org/offscript, and you can anonymously give us a topic there. If nothing else, we'd love to see you on a Sunday morning at 10:30 Central Time, Kirby Woods Baptist Church, 6325 Poplar Ave. And you guys have a wonderful week. Get in the gospel preaching, Bible teaching church. Goodbye.